Hey, indie filmmakers, I'm Nick Bodmer.
I'm Griffin Hammond, and today we're going to talk about how I tried to make my own press pass and why the printing company stopped me. Hey, Nick.
You're a forgery.
Yeah, today I just want to complain to you about a customer service experience.
Okay, sounds good.
Really, this just boils down to I wanted to make a press pass to show my intentions to cover things as a journalist. And
yes,
this company, Vistaprint, who I've used before. You've probably used Vistaprint.
I have, yep.
Years ago, they were like, they would give you free business cards, right?
Yep.
And they just told me they weren't comfortable with it. They denied the request.
So you like basically made in Photoshop your own press credentials that said like Griffin Hammond Incorporated Media Services, and they were not comfortable printing what they, I assume, thought were some sort of false identification?
Yeah, I think they were interpreting it as like this is some, like you're trying to forge a government document or something.
Right.
Although I think ultimately they know what it is. I think there's just a misunderstanding about what is a press pass and what does it mean to be press. So
let me stop you there and ask, Griffin, what is a press pass and what does it mean to be press?
Right, yeah. Well, I asked one of my first questions. This was like, I got a phone call from Vistaprint and they just said, we're sorry, our like, you know, a reviewer denied your proof. And I asked what country they were in because I thought there probably are some countries where you have to be licensed as press or,
sure,
you know. But in the U.S., the freedom of the press extends to every citizen. And if, I mean, there's nothing stopping any one of us from doing journalism. You can go out and ask questions and publish things. And so a press pass really is just something that just says what your intention is, that I am here to cover a story and you can decide to give me access or not, but I'm not lying to you about what I'm doing here.
Right. And you've carried a press pass before, obviously, when you worked at Bloomberg covering politics, you had a Bloomberg press pass.
Right.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. And I think that's where, like, you know, if you work for CNN, they will make you a CNN branded press pass. And that's right, where I would get into trouble if I was trying to mischaracterize who I was. If I was saying that I worked, right, for CNN and I don't, that's a problem. But if I'm just, my press pass just says, I'm Griffin Hammond, I'm a reporter, and it just has my name and address on it. That's it.
And it says Vistaprint would not print it for you.
Right. And so I kind of went back and forth with them. I mean, it was clear they weren't going to print it. But I was just trying to understand like why they wouldn't. And a couple things they said to me, one was they were like, well, normally the company would make that for you, right? Like you don't get to make that yourself.
And you're like, I am the company.
Right. Yeah. I was like, well.
And I'm farming out the printing to a printing company.
Yeah. The same goes for your biggest product, business cards. Yeah. If I work, right, at Bloomberg News, they're going to print me my own. They're going to make the business cards for me. But when I work for myself, I make my own business cards that say what I am, mm-hmm, and what I do. That's all a press pass is.
So no resolution. They're not going to print them for you.
Yeah. But I was impressed that they had a good customer service experience, or I had a good customer service experience with them. After that initial phone call, I just followed up with them and wrote an email just saying like why it bothered me and kind of some feedback for them to consider for the future. I kind of knew they weren't going to print it,
right,
but they got back to me and they said all the right things, like, you know, we understand why you're frustrated and that makes sense and we're sorry. And I don't know, we had like a good back and forth. I actually like had a couple emails back and forth with them. The other thing the first customer service person said on the phone was that it was also suspicious that I was ordering 25 copies of the same thing.
That does seem like more press passes than you'd need, Griffin.
It is,
I'm
indeed, way more
say
than
that,
I need.
That seems fishy to me, too. What were you up to?
That was the minimum amount that the order could be.
Oh, well.
It was like, what do you want? Like, they have to be identical, and there has to be 25 of them. And I think the total cost was going to be, like, $30 or something with shipping. It was like, okay, well, I'll pay $30
to get,
like...
Can't you just go down to Kinko's and print this and have it laminated and be done with it?
You know, I looked around, and maybe someone has a better idea than I did, but I've seen some really bad ones. Like, I've had bad press badges printed for me by real media organizations. when they've hired me, it's like, here's your press badge. And it's just like, okay, you printed this out and, like, ran it through a laminating machine, and it looks worse than, like, a normal trade show badge. And what I really want is, like I'm holding up here actually a badge that the hospital gave me when Peter was born. They just, like, printed my face on a card. But it's these little, you know, these cards. They're, like, the same exact size as a credit card.
Yeah.
There's actually, like, an official, they're, like, ISO 7810 cards. They're 3 inches tall.
So what you're saying is you're investing in an ISO 78 card printer.
Yeah, I don't want to buy the $2,000 card printer or whatever it is. And, you know, it's just easier for me to...
Do you think I could be credentialed under Griffin Hammond Media as a member of your reporting podcast?
Yeah, I could probably make Hey Indie Filmmakers press badges.
Which I think we should do.
Yeah. Well, and I should say why I want to do this, because...
Yeah, why do you want to do this?
I think they're probably misinterpreting this as I'm not sure they know what a press pass does. It's not like this gets me into events for free or something. I think right. They imagine me, like, going to the World Series and showing off my fake press badge, being like, I get to come inside, right? But that's not how this works at all.
It's not how it works. Yeah.
I tried to explain to them, it's really exactly the same as a trade show. It's like the trade show will give you a badge once you've proven to them that you are press and they want to let you in. They'll give you a special one that says press. But it's like, if I went to cover a Donald Trump event, I couldn't just walk up with my press pass, my personally made one, and say, I get to come in, right? It's like, no, you have to be on the list. You probably had to call us in advance. And so it's not giving me some extra special secret access.
It's really just identifying you as a member of a press when right. you're at an event you've already been invited to.
Right, yeah. Although there
So let me ask you this. If you're at an event, say, like when you were at an event representing Bloomberg, could you get in trouble for being there and not wearing your press badge, not identifying yourself as a member of the press while you were there?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of more of like an ethical thing. Like, I don't know who would... I'm not going to get in trouble for doing that, but I think it makes sense. I generally, whenever I was filming people or asking people questions, I would make sure I was wearing it around my neck. And that's one reason I might want to have it, is that this personal one that I'm making myself is I may be in a situation where I am doing journalism on my own, freelance, and I want to convey to the public what I'm doing. I will say that some people may confuse this with, like, there are some official forms of press credentials. Like, I think the NYPD, you can apply, if you've proven that you've covered the NYPD a lot, I think you can apply for press credentials from them, and they'll send you something that says, like, you're approved NYPD press, which perhaps means you get to cross a police line or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the main reasons I wanted this were, I just wanted to be able to... I was going to Louisville, Kentucky last weekend to shoot a project for a client, and I weighed out all this camera gear and lighting equipment that I wanted to bring with me, and it was this box of lights. This was like an Aputure 120D kit, and there's three lights in the box, and the thing is a few inches more than the maximum allowed to check a bag, and it was like 60 pounds, and I think the weight limit was 50.
And that can be expensive.
Yeah, it was going to be $150 is like the overage fee because you went over 50 pounds. But do you know what you could do with press passes, with media credentials?
With an airline? No.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it helps solve this problem. You get free bags?
Yeah. Well, you don't get it for free, but with Delta at least, and I think with a lot of airlines, you show them that you're media, and they'll knock that $150 charge down to $50. Because you're probably showing up with, like, four Pelican cases, depending on your production, right?
Right.
So that was my main thing.
You needed just to save a few dollars.
Right. And it's like, I am legitimately media going to an event. I mean, I'm the kind of person that should be covered by that kind of policy. but because I work for myself and not for a major media organization, I don't have something to show besides a business
card. I'm going to do that next time I'm just flying with my family back home to Chicago. Be like, hey, I'm media. So that's why that stroller should be free.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like, it's not like it's a law or something. It's not like the TSA comes in and says, like, well, are you really? Like, it's just the airlines are extending this courtesy to media professionals. And honestly, which I probably could have just, like, printed out a sheet of paper that just said, like, hey, I'm media. But I'm sure having it laminated or having it on one of these nice-looking cards will make it a little bit easier. So I think I will actually get to have this printed. I went with a different company.
More open-minded company.
Yeah, I guess just a company they didn't care.
they're like, we'll print whatever you want.
I think
$20 bills.
I don't even remember what they're called. Passports. I feel like they're called like customlanyards.com or something.
Perfect. So that's more what they do too. So they've probably seen it all.
I don't know. Actually, I was surprised there aren't a lot of companies that print this particular card. Probably because it is dangerous in terms of, you know, people could print fake IDs and fake gift cards. I don't know what you could do, but there's a lot of official looking things that go on a card like this. So I think like a lot of companies I looked to, there's this printing company I like called uprinting.com that I've used before. They don't even do that service. Moo.com is where I get my business cards made and they don't do that. So I was surprised it
was took
me a little bit longer. Yeah.
Griffin, I sent you a picture. Did you see my new setup?
Oh, your new, you have a TV behind you now?
I have a TV behind me now, and I did have Handy Filmmakers up on that, and apparently it's gone to the screensaver now, so sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. I have to, like, crop your frame anyway, so I don't even know how much of it we get to see.
It's behind my head, so yeah. I really didn't frame this very well, I guess. But we can criticize that later.
What's your screensaver?
I got new speakers on the desk. It's a Chromecast, so whatever the Chromecast random pictures are that it just cycles between.
Yeah.
Right now it's blue fields and a sunset. Very nice. So just ignore that for now. But I got do you remember my speakers from college, the ones I built myself?
Yes.
I bought a little amp for my desk, and I set them up kind of as, I mean, they're not studio monitors, but studio monitor alike set up for my computer here. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, what have they been doing all these years?
You know, since I moved to this house, they've been sitting on my shelf up here, not hooked up. So they have not been doing much. I've just kind of moved them around. They used to be for my home theater setup, but this house is different, so they weren't getting used, and now they are.
These are those, the kind of speakers that just take a speaker wire, and they don't have any built-in electronics.
Right. There's a crossover, a passive crossover inside, but yeah.
But it needs an amp to work.
It needs an amp, yeah. And they've got these really inexpensive amps. Well, it was $145, but it's a DAC, a digital to analog converter, meaning it plugs into my PC with a USB connection, and so it shows up like a sound card.
Yeah.
And it's got the USB input, it's got optical input, it's got an aux input, it's got Bluetooth, it's got, maybe that's it. And so I have both my Mac and my PC hooked up into it, and it's got a headphone amp and a speaker amp, so I can plug my headphones in and switch between headphones and speakers. So I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we're trying that out. Just set that up. And so I got these speakers out, and for years now, you know the center of a speaker cone, that center circle? It's called a dust cap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do, but why is it called a dust cap?
I don't know. I guess because it keeps dust out of the voice coil, which is what's behind that. And sometimes they're a separate piece from the actual speaker surface, though I think on mine they're all one piece. But anyway, my children many years ago had pushed them in like a little bubble, and so they were all dented, which my understanding is does not at least dramatically affect the sound quality on a mid-range cone like this. On like a tweeter it would, but on something bigger like this it shouldn't have affected the sound quality, and I don't think it did, but it still looked bad. So I was like, I wish I knew how to fix it. And I Googled it, and somebody said you could use a vacuum, like the hose from a vacuum, and kind of like suck it back out. So I decided I set up my camera. I've got a little video of the dust cap getting sucked back out. It actually worked great.
Oh,
so
you did it already?
I throw that up. I did it already. I did it in like minutes.
This whole time I was in suspense. Like, I was sure that you hadn't done it, and I was worried that you were going to destroy this thing.
No, I did it. It worked. I think I can make it into like a tutorial video on YouTube, and I think the tutorial video can literally be like 15 seconds long. Like, I think I could make this a super concise, like, how to fix your speaker video and make it like crazy short. What do you think of that idea?
I love that idea. I have this tutorial video similar to that I want to make, which is just, I got an electric kettle, and it made all these annoying noises. Every time you pushed any button, it would just like have a really loud beep. And it's like,
beep.
Just to use it, you'd have to like turn it on and then like click, 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 click to change the temperature. And so you're just like, beep, 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 beep. It's like too loud to have around a baby. And so I just Googled it real quick, and someone said like, oh, you could just open it up and take out the piezo transducer. Like, it literally could just pop off the circuit board. Or literally, I think I'm not even popping it off the circuit board. I'm just taking off the diaphragm so that it's still activated.
It can't make any sound anymore.
I didn't even have to anything. I just had to like pop something off. And so it's just three screws out the bottom, and then you pop this thing off, and now it works perfectly. And I just thought, like, that would be a really simple tutorial video.
All right, so let me tell you what I shot. I have a shot. It's kind of like, it just shows you can't even see me in it. I decided it didn't matter. I just have a shot of the speaker, and I come in with the vacuum hose and pop it out, and that's it. And then I got like one B-roll shot of me like panning across the speaker before and after. So super simple. I want just like, I'll do a quick voiceover. Yeah. Like, I was like, do I even need titles? Like, would you put a title in, or should I just skip the titles?
I would skip the titles unless there's, I mean, you could put a title in while you're talking. You know, it doesn't have to take up any time.
But there's nothing to say. So I'm like, I don't even think I need that.
No, yeah. You
probably, and then my question is, two questions. How do you, do I talk in first person? Like, here's how I fixed my speaker, or here's how you fix your speaker? Like, what do you think is the appropriate, would you call that tense, or, you know, first person,
yeah,
second
like first
person,
person or second
third person.
Yeah. I personally would do it as first person.
Okay.
Because I think, like, you're not like an expert on fixing speakers, but you did it successfully. So I think just presenting it as your story makes sense.
My dust cap on my speaker cone was popped in. Here's how I fixed it with my vacuum.
Yeah.
Pop. The end.
And people always love one of the fast tutorials. Like, you always see comments that are just like, great, straight to the point, thank you so much, because there's so many videos out there that are terrible.
I got a lot of positive comments on my hard drive shucking video that it, you know, kind of got right to it and moved pretty quickly through it. So yeah. I like that.
It's funny.
And then
the
last
irony
question
of talking about this
is music.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead and finish your irony comment.
I was just
going
to say the irony
decide on my music.
The irony of talking about how great it is to get to the point so quickly is that we're talking about this in our
long rambling podcast.
Yeah.
We're doing good. We're going to keep this one under 30 minutes so I don't hit my recording limit. We got 10 minutes to go.
Good.
All right, music. What should I do?
Well, I think didn't you use Kevin MacLeod last time?
Yeah, but I want to use something different this time.
I mean,
like, should I go get one of those $20 a month? What's the one you like?
I use Artlist.
Artlist.
Which is, I don't think you could pay monthly, but I think it's $200 a year.
Oh, I can't afford that. I'm too poor. Back to Kevin MacLeod.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's lots of other music that's Creative Commons, anything that's Creative Commons.
Well, I need you to find me something nice and short that is kind of like techie, because this is like a how-to video on speakers.
Yeah.
Can you just whip something up for me real quick?
Can I just make music for you? Can I just compose a track?
No, just, you're good at finding stuff. Just find me something.
I actually think Kevin MacLeod is a good choice, because he has kind of that like, that kind of how it's made sound. It's kind of like synthy and almost like, you can just tell it's low budget, but in a way that it seems to fit well with that kind of stuff.
Da, 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 da. Royalty free music. Here, my, let's see, I'm gonna.
I mean, there's plenty of great music that's Creative Commons. I think the problem you just run into is, at the end of the day, do you want to have to put a credit at the end? If you don't want to have to put a credit, then you pay someone.
Now, do I have to put it in the video, or can it be in the description?
I think it does have to be in the video. I think technically people could specify how they're comfortable getting that attribution, but it is kind of a cop-out to put it only in the description where no one's going to see it.
Okay. Oh, he's got a new website. Magistar, are you ready? Ooh. And do you just play stuff till you find something that sounds good?
Yeah. I love the idea of playing his music Ooh. Through your speakers onto the podcast, because now we have to give Kevin MacLeod credit.
Now we have
credit.
To credit him? Well, we can do that.
No, I think this is a combination of, one, we are crediting him live, and two, I think this is kind of fair use.
All right, you ready for Crusade Heavy Industrial?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wait, is this the title or the description of the song?
Yeah, the title. All right, so I will find some music. I'm going to whip this video together really fast. It took me 15 minutes to shoot it. I want to edit it in under 30 and be done.
You'll have it out before I even have this podcast video out.
Well, let's not get crazy. You know me, I'm really slow, but... All right.
You know what we should
what
get to?
What else we got to talk about?
We should talk about our great sponsor for this episode.
I knew I was forgetting something, Griffin. We're going to talk about all this after the sponsor. Remember when you told me that beforehand? That reminds me, Haney Filmmakers is brought to you by Squarespace. Bring your stories to life with Squarespace, the easiest way to create an exceptional website, blog, portfolio, or online store.
It has been an exceptional way for me to make my website, griffinhammond.com. Nick, if only you had an exceptional website, blog, or portfolio to put this excellent video that you're about to make.
I do need one. It's probably time for me to set up a Squarespace site.
Yeah.
Because I just have my website, nickwebber.com, has like nothing on it right now.
And that's funny because you're an IT professional. Actually, like, you were always the guy in high school and college who had the best websites and designed everyone's websites.
I know, but... It took all this time and effort, and it's just like, I don't have time for it anymore. Do you know what I should do?
I know exactly what you should do. I have a special offer for you and our Hey Indie Filmmakers audience.
Oh,
you,
yes.
Nick, could try Squarespace free for 14 days and receive 10% off your first purchase if you're willing to visit squarespace.com/griffin.
Fantastic. Fantastic. What a deal. I didn't even know about it. No, I'm not joking though. I probably should make a website, and if I were going to do it, I would do it on Squarespace.
Yeah, and you're not just saying that because they're sponsoring the episode.
That's right.
I mean, I have been a Squarespace customer for 2 years.
They're sponsoring,
and that preceded them sponsoring it.
All right, my friend. What else we got to talk about? I ruined our post ad read. Discussion topic because I brought it up early. Sorry.
Just, I don't know. The only thing going on in my world was going to do this shoot in Louisville, which was interesting. I don't want to talk about the client specifically, but it was a good project because they lined up a bunch of interviews for me to shoot, and they were very emotional interviews. They were talking about important things in their family and like medical health and stuff.
Jeez.
And so they were relatively short interviews. They were good questions. We only had to talk to these families for 5 minutes each, but man, the answers were just great, like just packed full of emotion, which is what you want in an interview.
Right.
I've always learned facts are what you can do with B-roll and voiceover, but you want to save the emotion for the interviews to let them convey that. So I don't know. I shot this thing and I was like, this is going to be really fun to edit. I know exactly what's going
to
go in the final
piece.
As opposed
to like being like pulling teeth sometimes where you're like,
yeah, I mean,
I gotta find
for some projects, you're just sifting through a 20-minute interview and you're making a lot of cuts because you're like, well, if I kind of take this half a sentence, put it with this half a sentence, I can convey what this person was trying to say, but it was kind of long and boring. But when someone is telling you that they were afraid, but then they found hope, Like, it's just these kind of moments just were so powerful on camera that I'm excited to put it together.
Fun. Is that something we'll ever see, or is that kind of a customer project?
I think when the client approves it and puts it out, I could tell everyone about it.
Nice.
I guess in the meantime, I just wanted to remind people that the point of interviews is to convey a feeling. So that's what I want
what
to hear in your...
What feeling are you conveying in this interview?
That's what I want to hear in your speaker video. I want to hear the emotions associated with not
I was
sucking
nervous.
Your speaker into
I
the
was
vacuum.
Nervous. So we have a little group chat with our friends, and everyone mocked me and said I was going to destroy my speaker, and they were going to enjoy watching the video of me destroying my speaker. I showed them.
You sure did.
Not you, though, Griffin. You would never be mean to me.
No. It's been a long time since I was mean to you.
It's true. All right, I'm going to go make this video. Wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun with Kevin MacLeod music.
Thanks. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
See ya.
Sony A7III unable to record.
And it hasn't shut itself off. It just says cannot record. Well, this can be the part of the podcast where we don't get to see you, but we talk about your overheating camera.